So our Palm Sunday reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, beginning to read at verse 1. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing? Untie that colt." They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now I'm going to hand over to Sheila, who's going to bring us this morning's sermon.
Good morning. Well, here we are, Palm Sunday. Hasn't it crept up on us? I just can't believe we've got here. But Palm Sunday, if you've heard me speak on this day before, you'll know I just love Palm Sunday. It's a very special day. And I think it goes back to my childhood because it was always made a big thing of in our home. So it's always special. And it's a day, really, don't you think, that feels like celebration, but yet with a hesitation. What's coming next? This Sunday is celebration, and so is next Sunday. But we have to live through this next week, Holy Week, with Jesus. Let's just start with today, Palm Sunday. It is the beginning of an amazing week in the history of the human race. Jesus and his disciples were approaching Jerusalem, and two of them were sent to this village ahead to find a colt, a baby donkey. Well, it was a different culture from ours, but I still wonder what they thought. They were to just take the colt, and then when questioned, to say, "The Lord needs it and will send it back." They did. And of course, it was just exactly as Jesus said, because Jesus' words are always, always true. When they brought it to Jesus, they throw their cloaks over it, and on he gets. And off they go, palm branches on the ground, people cheering and waving, and his followers waving more palms and shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Have you ever thought about this crowd? Who on earth were they all? Did it start as a small group who were with him and then sort of grow as they were going along? According to John's gospel, that on that day, a group from Bethany surrounded Jesus and they were still rejoicing over the miracle of Lazarus's raising from the dead. There were thousands of pilgrims in Jerusalem at that time to celebrate the Passover. So many of them will have been from Galilee and they probably knew who Jesus was. Matthew tells us that there were blind people, lame people, and children. Perhaps there were some who just saw something exciting and joined in, something very different for Jesus, though. Because in fact, until this point, he had always tried to keep a low profile. He hadn't gone in for the big display. He'd often told people when he healed them not to say anything, but to keep quiet. But here he is, in a great procession, with much noise, coming into Jerusalem for everyone to see. Luke tells us that when the indignant Pharisees tried to quieten the people, Jesus said, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Something big was happening here. So what was it? Was this prophet from Galilee being vindicated here in Jerusalem? The Pharisees were very disturbed about what was happening, and said, look how the whole world has gone after him. If you look ahead to the next week, it makes no sense. With such crowds throwing themselves at his feet one week, how on earth did Jesus get arrested and killed the next? Sometimes I think perhaps we need to look at the undercurrents that are happening here, because in the background of all this, you know, there did lurk danger. The religious authorities resented Jesus, and the Romans didn't want any great disturbance with so many people around for the festival of the Passover. Jesus himself obviously had mixed feelings during the parade. You know, as he approached Jerusalem, Luke tells us that he wept over Jerusalem and the people. He knew how those cheers were going to change from Hosanna to crucify. Imagine what a Roman soldier might think if he galloped up to see what this disturbance was about. Rome parades with conquering generals in polished armor and big chariots and soldiers around pulling prisoners behind them. What would he see here? An adoring crowd made up of the lame, the blind, children, peasants from Galilee and Bethany. And when the officer looks for the object of their attention, he spies a forlorn figure, weeping, riding not on a stallion or chariot, but on the back of a baby donkey, a borrowed colt draped over its back to serve as a saddle. Yes, we sense triumph on Palm Sunday, but not necessarily the kind to impress Rome and the people for very long either. Jesus arrived in Jerusalem, looked around, and then retired with his disciples to Bethany. The next day began a series of events that eventually led to the death of Jesus. And these are important for us to note this week. There's this strange incident with the fig tree as Jesus sets off. He wanted some figs and they didn't have any, so he pronounced it would never produce figs again. He then entered the temple area and began driving out the money changers. My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, and you have made it a den of robbers. Religious leaders were very annoyed. I'm sure many people were too. What about those selling and making money? You can see clearly that a big blow-up was rising. So what else happened that week? The chief priests, the Pharisees, and the elders began to question Jesus. They asked, who gave you authority to do these things? They tried to trick him with questions about paying taxes. The Pharisees tried to confuse him with a silly question about marriage and the resurrection. Each time, he had an answer, and one they couldn't retaliate on. That reminds me of the charge to us by St. Peter. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope you have. Do we have an answer to share our testimony with others and tell them why we love and follow Jesus? It's important we think about that and know that we can stand for Jesus in every situation. And that includes today. The situation we're in is something we've never experienced before, and the opportunities are different. Are we ready when the need arises for us to take them? That's a challenge. Jesus continues to teach his followers. He comes back to the fig tree again. It had withered. He used it to talk about faith and moving mountains. And he says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it and it will be yours. Is that another challenge for us this week? Because we're all praying a lot at the moment, aren't we? We've got time. We're being quiet before Jesus. We're praying. Do you believe Jesus can do the things he says he can? It's interesting, isn't it? I was reading the UCB Bible notes first thing this morning. Some of you may have read them. And one of the statements was in there saying that you are natural, but Jesus puts the super in natural. Remember that one when you're praying this week. Because he wants to use all of us all the time in many, many different ways. Certainly different at the moment, isn't it? Jesus also talks that week about tenants who kill the owner's son to get what they want, and the widow's offering, and signs of the end of the age. He's anointed by a woman in Bethany, a story again that shows the difficulty and yet necessity for us to stand up for Jesus. We have the Last Supper and the wonderful command to remember Jesus in communion together. Do you know, there's something very special, isn't there, about Phil taking communion for us? It was lovely that Mick put that on last week as well and mentioned it, as if he's standing before God for all of us. It's a very holy, moving moment, and I hope you'll feel that again as he does it today. Also, he spoke of the betrayal by someone who has been with him for 3 years. We read the agonizing story of Gethsemane. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." I just want to encourage every one of us this week to read the Easter story from Palm Sunday onwards. I'm using Mark's gospel, but you can use any or every gospel. See the story from all angles. Learn new things. Be challenged by new things. Walk through this Holy Week with Jesus. It's so important. And use the opportunities we have at the moment to remember and to learn. Before we finish, I just want to mention that crowd again. You know, they can be challenging for us. Which of them turned from Hosanna to crucify him in those few days? Were some of them just following the crowd, like I mentioned earlier, followed the loudest voice at the time? Did they change sides when they knew it could get a bit dangerous? I want to say again how important it is that we know our own minds about Jesus and stand strong with him always. This week is so important. It is leading us up to that amazing sacrifice that gives us life. I find it hard to imagine that Jesus suffered so much for me. And he did that voluntarily. He knew what was going to happen and he took it. He died for everyone. Good, bad. Do you realize that? Good, bad. Everybody he died for. Doesn't matter who they are, what we think of them. Jesus died for them because of an amazing love that we need to keep grasping. We need to make it personal. He went to the cross and won that amazing victory over sin, death, sickness, evil, because he loves me. Can you say that? Because he loves me. Feel that deep down. Feel it in your emotions. Feel it in your depth. He loves you. Each one of us has to be able to say that. And then we can go into this week with him. And then we can really rejoice next Sunday. You know, for all that giving of himself, all that Jesus asks of us is that we receive that love and forgiveness he offers and walk with him every day. How can I not do that? A God who loves and loves and loves beyond anything we can understand. Amazing Jesus. God bless you as you walk this week with him. Amen.